This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck? It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. I don't understand the Facebook thing, guys. I really don't, because it said we were there, and then we weren't there, and then it wouldn't play, and then it did, and then now they're all gone. So I don't know. But What the Puck shows up on Facebook, and then Facebook becomes unavailable for 8 hours. Coincidence? I think not. That's how powerful we are. We shut things down. That's right. All right. Well, hey, it's still the preseason. The Caps are still winless. Everyone's hurt or leaving to go to Buffalo. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm not leaving to go to Buffalo.
I know.
Or hurt, for that matter. I mean, I'll go see, like, the Bills play.
I mean, you got hurt feelings.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, it's okay. Sometimes. We all get that way sometimes. It's okay.
It's okay.
But, hey, the Caps, here we are. The Caps are winless in the preseason. I know that the wins don't matter, but still, it would be nice to get one. But there's a bunch of players hurt. There's some people that were put on waivers and then claimed by Buffalo. A lot's going on this week in Caps world. Some of the biggest news, though, it has to be with the injuries. Number one, we know Nick Backstrom won't be at opening night. We know Sammy is hurt yet again. Shocker there. And now Martin Fehervaari, who is expected to be a big-time part of this defense, hurt against the Devils in Jersey. Upper body injury. Tell us what we know about these injuries right now, Coach, and how is this going to affect the Caps moving forward?
Well, I feel kind of bad after your, like, doom and gloom way you were just talking about it, because it sounds like the injuries, aside from Backstrom's, really aren't going to affect this team too much. So that's nice. Being reported by Samantha Pell of the Washington Post that Laviolette came out and said that Fehervaari, he's got an upper body injury. They're thinking it might be his hand after he blocked a shot. They being, like, reporters and people, not necessarily the Caps, haven't said what they think, what it is. They think, you know, he's going to be able to play on Friday, which I believe is the team's last preseason game. Yep, preseason finale versus Philly. Then that he's not too concerned about it. And then Samsonov's actually, he's not dressed to play in tonight's game against Boston, but he's there. And so it seems like, you know, they're just giving him a little extra time, but they're not too worried about him. He's got a lower body injury. He hurt it in, like, the second period when he was playing the other game. You know, it sounds like during that game he thought he could keep going, kind of just work it off, and it didn't work out that way. So it sounds like they're just kind of pulling him as precautionary measures, didn't let him practice for a couple days. But he was at practice this morning and doing what he needed to do. So it sounds like they are just, like I said, being a little bit more cautious with him. But I think Samsonov sounds like he's going to be ready to go to start the season. Fehervaari should be good to go to start the season. And then Backstrom, it's looking like it's highly unlikely. There's a chance that he could play, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that it sounds like, when I was listening to Caps this morning, they're saying that he thought it wasn't going to take as long to heal, and it's just taking longer than they anticipated his hip. And I mean, that happens as you get older. You know, your body doesn't recover as quickly as it used to from injuries. And that's one of the big concerns with this team overall. But I don't know if we want to go into that conversation again. I think we've already had that over the last couple of weeks. But, you know, Backstrom sounds like he's not going to be playing, which gives an opportunity for someone like Connor McMichael or Hendrix LaPierre to give them an opportunity to play a couple of games before Backstrom comes back and really show that they think that they may belong in the NHL. And both these guys are taking advantage of that right now during the preseason. I mean, LaPierre's got, what, like 5 assists or 6 assists in 5 games, something along those lines. McMichael's playing well. He scored a goal the other night. Given they're not winning any games, but it's the preseason, so I don't really care. And so really right now, it's just, I want to see them kind of finish this preseason strong. They also have been playing kind of mix and match lineups, which I think is a bit odd. Not a bit odd. It's what you need to do in the preseason, but it's hard to make a judgment in terms of how this team's going to be when you're not playing your full lineup. So tonight's lineup looks like it's a little bit more in line with something that we're going to see in the regular season, which now you can look at and go, okay, now I know what I'm kind of seeing from this team.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up, I mean, everyone's talking about it, but Connor McMichael, Henrik Lapierre, it does look like these guys will be getting an opportunity. I know you said that there's a slight chance Backstrom plays on opening night, but he hasn't even skated yet.
Ever so slight. Like, if you could see, there's like, if there's any daylight between my fingers, it's very small.
So there's a there's no chance he's playing. I would expect him to go on LTI, long-term injury reserve, LTIR.
That's important.
I think he's going to miss maybe like the first month, just because say his injury is all healed up. He's going to have to get work the rust off. He's going to have to get some skating underneath him first. It's going to take time, but that does give a great opportunity to some younger players. And, you know, we've talked for, you know, we've talked for 300 episodes now about the Caps roster and how they really don't pull from the Hershey Bears. They really don't pull from the farm that much. And now you have this golden opportunity of these two really good players to kind of show off. And it's kind of, it's a good opportunity for both, but it's a little bit of like a mixed message as well, where I want to say it was in Philly. And it was the end. It was the power play, I believe. And you've got Ovechkin, you've got Oshie, you've got Carlson out there. You've got all these veterans, all these top guys, and then you have Henrik Lapierre mixed in. I mean, had to be a huge opportunity for him. Had to be, you know, a dream come true to be playing with these guys. And then this game up against Boston, we're recording mere minutes before it starts, but it's not being televised anywhere, so we can't watch it.
It's on. I think the Boston broadcast, but I don't think it's being in our area, if I saw this correctly, which by no means did I.
I mean there's still travel restrictions. COVID's still very real, so there's travel restrictions for the crew and for radio, so of course they're not going to be there due to that in the preseason. But anyway, so you've got Henrik Lapierre doing that, and now Henrik Lapierre is sitting against the Bruins, and you have Connor McMichael taking his spot. So there is no clear-cut winner in this race. There is no answer of who is going to be there on opening night. They're both being given an opportunity to figure this out and to really impress the coach. So, you know, we're probably not going to know who really is going to be able to grab that brass ring until opening night on TNT up against the Rangers. So both of these guys are showing off. They're doing all the right things. It's really going to have to come down to, like, who's going to make that one less mistake in this preseason.
I mean, it is to an extent, but I feel like there's an opportunity for both of these guys to make the roster. Because if you put Backstrom on long-term injury reserve, that's a large cap hit that's coming off. This team already doesn't have a lot of cap space, but you're freeing up $9.2 million. That gives you the opportunity to have both Lapierre and McMichael out there, and, you know, not necessarily on the ice the same night, but it gives you a bit of an extended opportunity to see what you have in these guys, to know if they really are who you need them to be. Are they ready to play now, or is it not just time yet? But one thing I want to, and I'll be honest, I'm not going to go back and figure this out because I don't care that much about it. But I'm curious to see. I mean, Lapierre's had a really good training camp. I don't think anybody anticipated that being the case from him. And he's just come out and been like, well, let me show you what I can do. And I like to see when the games he's played, has he gone up against other teams' top line players? Has he gone up against their prospects? Has he gone up against their minor league players? You know, anybody can go in and have a good preseason, but if you're playing as a young player or a minor league player, and you're playing against other young players or minor league players that aren't going to be in the NHL, then your numbers are inflated, right? Like, I don't know. Was he playing against pros? Was he playing against guys that he's going to see in the NHL? And I think, I forget who tweeted. Here it is. So the Bruins are going to have Bergeron, Pasternak, Marchand out there. They're going to have a lot. It looks like a lot of, well, I don't recognize some of these names. They're going to have some of their players that they normally have. And so that's what I'm going to see. You know, McMichael, I want to see how he does. Is he going to be going up against Patrice Bergeron and annoying Brad Marchand? And I want to see how he does. I want to see how Lapierre does in the NHL. I think both of them have earned the opportunity to get a sweater on opening night, or at least at some point in the first week. You know, I don't know if they necessarily should be playing against, well, one of them is going to have to because Backstrom's not going to be back. But, you know, you know, you have the Rangers, you got Tampa, and then you got Colorado all at home, the first three games of the season. I think I want to see both those guys at least once over those three games to see how they're going to do.
I mean, I think that's a great plan. I think that's definitely something that this team can, if Backstrom's out, they can definitely afford to do that. It's going to help out both of these guys, I really do think, in the long run as well. If they do have to go back down to the minors, I assume they will be going back to the minors when Backstrom comes back.
I think they
back.
Have to go to juniors if they get...
That's quite the drop.
Well, so it's... That's the tricky part if you're Laviolette and if you're McClellan, is talking to these guys if you are going to send them down. You know, you need to still have an opportunity. You don't want to... Stunt their growth seems dramatic, but you don't want to go into a situation where they are like mad that they got sent down and then it stunts their growth. You want to have them in an opportunity where this was a great learning experience. And I have to imagine for them, they're looking at this as this is my spot. If you're going to send me down, I'm going to make it as difficult as possible for you.
Right.
Right. Like no matter, like I'm going to make your life incredibly difficult, but it's a good thing for the team. It's a good issue for the team to have because they have players that they need. You know, you want to have these guys that are good and ready to play. And I think it's important for them to see what they have. And they're not going to see that unless you give them an opportunity to play against NHL level players. And so we have to wait and kind of see what becomes of it. I think it's interesting that McMichael's centering I saw the lineup. Where did it go? So he'll be centering in between Oshie and Sheary. That's a great opportunity for him. And I'd love to see, you know, I would have liked to have seen how that game went. Because I think one thing the Capitals do need to start thinking about, and maybe not this season, but they're the oldest team in the league on average age.
Really?
Yep. And that's even after moving out Chara and his age. So... Something is going on there. This team over the next couple seasons has to look at getting younger because injuries are going to happen. And as you, like we talked about, your body gets older. It takes longer for you to heal from things. And having a bunch of older players isn't necessarily the best plan. So do you need, you know, you want to start giving opportunities to LaPierre McMichael. You want to start giving opportunities to a guy like Alexi Protas, who they, you know, at least listening to Caps this morning, the team is very high on, and I feel like that's a guy that they're going to want to be, you know, he's going to be in the NHL sooner rather than later. And, you know, I don't know how many other of the young guys they necessarily are looking at giving opportunities to, or that going to make a good impression on them. You know, a lot of guys got sent down over the past couple of days when they've had their cuts. Thankfully, they've only lost one. Everyone else seems that's been on waivers has cleared. They sent down, what was it, yesterday? They sent down Alexiev, Tobias Geiser, Pinho, Protas, Scarbosa, Vecchione, Vecchione? I don't know how to say his name. But they all cleared, and you know, you have opportunities to bring guys up going forward if you have, you know, injuries or whatever the case may be, or someone's just not playing well and needs some help. But I, you know, I'd like to see this team get a bit younger. That's not necessarily going to happen this season, barring any injuries. But... it's something to sort of keep an eye on going forward.
I think Phoenix Copley, he also was in the latest rounds of cuts and he went down. And
that's true.
I do feel a little bad for him because he did just debut his brand new Washington Capitals lid. And it was a really nice, clean design. I liked it a lot. I thought it had the reverse retro eagle on it, as well as the Washington Capitals script, like the old school 70s script on the side as well. And I was like, oh wow, this is cool. Like, I'm like, maybe we're kind of learning something here with how bad Sammy's injury could be. Maybe Copley's expecting to be called up a little bit and he's going to be here for a little bit, but nope, he went right back down to Hershey. I think he's on his last year of a 3-year deal, but he'll be down in Hershey. He had to go through waivers. I believe he got through everything as well. So that was another name. I was just like, well, maybe he could fill in for Sammy if he's hurt. But nope, it seems as if Sammy's going to be all right.
Yeah, I mean, I whether it's going to be him or Vanecek that starts the first game against the Rangers, you know, I think it's going to be Samsonov as long as he's healthy. That, if I was to guess, that would be what I would assume is going to happen. But I think that right now they have a good opportunity to make a run. I think everyone keeps talking about how they're this team and these core group of guys, that another opportunity to win the cup is closing. And I think in order to make another run, a real run, because the teams in their division aren't easy. You know, the Metro is one of the hardest divisions to get out of. And every one of those teams, almost every one of those teams, is really good. So even the bad teams aren't like terrible. So you really need to have a strong, really good core group of players, and then really good supporting cast to produce. Because if you're just hoping for, if you're just hoping for Ovechkin and Backstrom when he's healthy, and Kuznetsov if he can, and Oshie to score, you got a problem. You know, you need goals from Wilson and Mantha. You need goals from Eller. You need the fourth line of Hagel and Hathaway and Dowd to step up, and you need your third line. You need them producing as well. So it's gonna be interesting to see. And I think having guys like McMichael and LaPierre around the team isn't going to hurt them.
No, I think that's gonna give them a little bit more jump start as well, to kind of be like, oh, I want to be a part of this team. I want to be a part of this group. I thought it was interesting. I believe it was the game in Jersey that they gave the alternate captain A to the entire fourth line.
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought that was interesting because it's with as much as there's usually like line juggling around in the last COVID year, the fourth line stuck together the entire time, never changed. So to give that entire line the A, I think that kind of shows that Laviolette expects a lot out of that fourth line, that they're not your typical fourth line, and that these guys work really well together. And I think the coaching staff knows that.
I mean, I think it's true. I think they're talking on. Well, I keep bringing up Caps this morning, but they were talking about how that's one of the best.
It's a great podcast.
It is. I mean, it's good. It's great. You pop it in the office. It's like 15, 20 minutes. You know, it doesn't take up a long period of time.
Yeah, you listen to us, then you listen to them, and hey, there's your day.
There you go. Well, our show's long, but it ain't that long.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's a very good fourth line. I think it's a hard playing for a fourth line. I don't know if it's quite as good as like the Islanders one that they have. But every season is different, and we'll see how these guys do. I think it's a good defensive fourth line. And, yet, you know, their offensive contributions hopefully are a little bit better than they have been the last season. And, you know, if they're able to do that, then I think the Caps have an opportunity to really make something special this season. But it's going to be on – it's not just on them. It's on, you know, third line's got to step up as well. We need to see more from Eller goal-scoring-wise. You know, Sprong, it looks like he's going to get an opportunity on the second line. So we'll see how he's going to do. But is Connor Sheary going to take advantage of the opportunities that he's being given now on that third line? He's pretty much, you know, settled there. And when Backstrom's back, I'm imagining it's going to be Sheary, Eller, and Oshie. That's a pretty good third line, but they got to produce. You know, they got to put pucks in the net. So it's going to be an interesting season to see how they do. Mantha needs to step up. I want to see more from him. But I think, you know, having a solid, strong fourth line isn't going to hurt anybody.
Now, we lost Axel Janssen-Fjällby, unfortunately. He got claimed off of waivers by the Buffalo Sabres. He's going to be debuting against Pittsburgh. How big of a loss is that for the Capitals? He was a forward. He's been in the organization a couple years. I don't think he ever cracked the lineup in a regular season. He's been mostly a Hershey Bear. But what does this mean for the Capitals? Is this a loss to them? Was there any chance that we might see him this year?
If we do, it's going to be with the Sabres. And I don't mean that in the sense of like, duh, they signed him. I just don't think there was an opportunity for him to play. I hadn't really seen much of him aside from, you know, a bit in preseason and both this and prior preseasons. And it seemed like the question is whether he was ever going to make it and whether he's ever going to be able to kind of get to that next step and be an NHL caliber player. It looks like his potential and his ceiling may have been a third or fourth line guy. And that's not a bad thing. For a player necessarily, but I don't think the Caps are necessarily seeing that. And after a couple of preseasons with him, you know, I'm wondering if they're like, you know what, maybe he's not ever going to reach that potential. Maybe he's, you know, an AHL or fourth line guy. And, you know, I don't think it's great to lose a prospect. Some guys take a little bit longer, and I think he's going to get a great opportunity in a Buffalo Sabres team that's going to be probably one of the worst teams in the league this upcoming season. And it'll give him an opportunity to get, if he gets to play with them, you know, he's going to get an opportunity to go and play and get some decent minutes and, you know, see if he can show the Caps that maybe they're missing something that they shouldn't have let get away so easily.
Now, I know Nathan Walker, if you remember him, he was the Australian hockey player that the Capitals got into the organization, drafted him after he'd been with the Bears for a year or two. He got claimed off of waivers by somebody, and then he got put on waivers again, like at the beginning of the regular season, and then the Caps brought him back. So, I mean, I'm
He's
not saying...
He's our Aussie.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's going to happen to Axel, but, you know, if he does it in press, which how can you not be impressed? But I mean, it's Buffalo. Your standards aren't really that high. There's a chance he might be able to come back to the Caps organization down the road. We'll see. Who knows?
Hey, it wouldn't be the first time that's happened. Chris yes. Bork, they put him on waivers. He got claimed by Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh put him on waivers, and he got claimed back by the Caps. So yeah. Crazy things have happened. You know, I don't know if this is one that's necessarily going to bite them or hurt them. It is what it is, and, you know, we'll see how he does, and best of luck in Buffalo. I think that team's certainly going to need it this season. And, you know, hopefully for his sake, he does well.
Now, looking at the defense, you know, the left side is a little bit banged up. I guess you're kind of unsure of, like, what to expect from these guys. Michael Kempney, he's come back into the lineup for some preseason. He has not looked good. He has looked very, very rusty. And then you have Martin Fehervaari, who is a little banged up right now. But that left side's definitely a concern moving forward as we look into the regular season. Hopefully Kempney can kind of get back on the right track from where he was in 2018, which, I mean, seems like forever ago. And hopefully Fehervaari is able to play opening night. But that does open up the door for maybe a young defenseman. And we also have Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who I did not know nickname was TVR, which we got to start calling him TVR now. But TVR has impressed a lot of people in Carolina when he was down there. So it seems as if this defense is also kind of up in the air, just like the center spot is with Nick Backstrom. The left side is a little worse for wear than you'd like at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, the defense is certainly a concern, not just from injuries or lack of stellar play, but I think all around there's a lot of money on this team. The team that is having issues with their, I don't know if it's fair to say issues, but they're right up against the cap. And so if you have as much money as they have, I mean, they have $23.8 million. They have almost 30% of their salary cap is wrapped up in their defense, which to me seems like a lot. When you have, you know, couple of honestly third pairing defensemen and Nick Jensen and Michael Kempney at the moment at $2.5 million each, that's a lot of money that probably could be spread out either with players that are going to be playing better or with younger players and giving them an opportunity. And their average age of the defense right now is 31. And it's not, you know, this game right now is about speed. It's about quickness. And as you get older, you know, you start to slow down a bit. And so that's going to be an issue for this team. Are they too big and slow to be able to keep up with the teams that use their speed to their advantage? And I think having younger players like a Fehervaari, and maybe you're, you know, moving out a couple of these guys, you know, whether it's, I don't know how you're going to move out Kempney given he's not playing well. He's very rusty. And are you willing to kind of let him work through that and hope that he gets better as the season goes on, or do you need to try and move him out or do something with him while also looking at Nick Jensen? Are you moving him out to try and bring in a younger player to not only lower your cap situation and lower your average age, which is not the end of the world, but then also have a guy that may be around a bit longer? I mean, Jensen's got 1 year left on his deal. Kempney's a free agent at the end of the season, but if they're not playing as well as you like need them to play, not that Jensen hasn't been terrible during the preseason, I'm just looking at guys that have a higher cap hit and that are likely playing on that third pairing. You know, I'd rather hang on to a Trevor Van Riemsdyk whose cap hit is only $950,000 because then you have money to play with and you have opportunities to make moves to improve your team, especially going up to the trade deadline. You know, you're likely potentially going to need to make a move for depth, and you can't do that when you have no money to spend.
Yeah, this definitely seems like it's going to be the end of an era and the beginning of a new one, I guess.
Well, it's not the defense, maybe.
I don't know.
There's a short era, like a little era.
Well, I mean, with this group of guys that we have right now, like you said, there is that core group, but there is a lot of money wrapped up in a lot of these guys.
So there's only one dude on the core group that I could see getting moved out, and I think we both know who I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. I think, yeah.
But here's the thing.
I think I could use one of them around my beer right now. a koozie.
Very clever. The thing about Kuznetsov is I could totally see him coming into the season and being like, because he's already talked about how last season was not good. He didn't have a good season. Things went really poorly for him. I think he's going to come in with a bit of a, you know, I'm going to show you attitude.
Right.
And I hope he does, because that only benefits the Caps. But if he comes in and he's still playing the same way, then I think he's the guy of the core, and the core being, you know, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Oshie, likely Mantha Wilson, and Eller to an extent, at least forwards wise. You know, I think he's the one of those guys that's likely to get moved out.
And we'll see what happens. I mean, I would like to see a little bit. I had no idea about that stat of the Caps being the oldest team in the NHL. I mean,
average age, I believe, yeah, that is the case.
But there definitely seems like there needs to be some sort of youth in this, because just like you said, I mean, we're seeing it with Backstrom right now. Injuries pop up. We saw that with Ovechkin at the end of last year. Injuries pop up, and it does take longer for these older guys to kind of recoup from them. I get it. I'm not saying anything bad about it. It happens to all of us. But this league is very fast, and it is it's a lot of hard work, and you know, it is built for that younger athlete. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, hey, you don't want a team full of young guys, because then they, you know,
they have no experience.
Right. They have no experience. So you do want those veterans there. So you want that perfect balance. And right now the Capitals just don't have that balance. They're just kind of leaning towards veteran leadership, and that's it. Everyone's a leader at this point. But we know that Brian McClellan likes that. He doesn't like pulling from the farm. He likes getting those veteran guys.
I think he likes to...
He likes to win. That's what he likes.
Yeah, no, it's not just that. Yes, obviously. But I mean, like, he likes to have players in the minors a little bit longer than some other teams might do. I think John Walton phrased it as a little extra cooking. And, like, you know, in Detroit, they were notorious for doing this in terms of keeping their players in the minors up in Grand Rapids just a little bit longer and getting a little bit more experience before they would bring them up. But I think sometimes situations dictate what you're going to do. And I think Backstrom being out has allowed LaPierre and McMichael to showcase themselves a little bit more. And they're both certainly taking advantage of it. And they could definitely use it, because LaPierre is 19. McMichael is 20 and Favari is 22. The next closest player in age to those guys is Daniel Sprong at 24. Pinho just got sent down, so I don't know why Cap Friendly still has him on the roster. But then the next closest guy in age is Tom Wilson and Anthony Mantha at 27. You know, they don't have a lot of young players. So having these young guys around could definitely benefit this team in terms of having some extra energy. I mean, they've got that youthful energy as well as the skill set to be able to play, or at least hopefully be able to play. They're going to have to prove that. But play in the NHL, it saves you a bit of cap money and gives you opportunities to be like, you know what? If these guys can both play in the NHL, maybe I'm looking at moving someone who's a little bit more expensive out. I don't know who that is necessarily. Is it a Carl Hagelin at 2.75? Are you looking to move that out? Then again, LaPierre and McMichael aren't playing that same role that he is. Or maybe you move a guy like Connor Sheary back onto the fourth line so that you can put LaPierre or McMichael on the wing on the third line, where Sheary is, you know, I would imagine currently penciled into playing. So having young guys that can come up and play, it provides you with more opportunities. In general, having more players that can play in the NHL and produce provides you with more flexibility to be able to move things around and then free up cap space and free up concerns when someone goes down with an injury. And the other thing regarding the defense, we're talking about their age and injuries. Can we see some rotation this year? Yeah. In terms of the defense and even the, you know, forwards? I mean, these guys are older. Give them a break. I felt like they were just exhausted once they got to the playoffs last year. I want to see rotation this year. I want to see players.
And that was a shortened season.
I know. And it's not going to be any easier this year because of the Olympics. And so you're going to see players come into this, and games are going to be more condensed. There's more back-to-backs. I want to see more rotation throughout the team. I want to see, you know, if Kempney's the seventh defenseman, I still want to see him playing, because that's going to give Jensen a night off, or Schultz a night off, or Orlov, or Carlson. Like, I don't want these guys going into the playoffs. Everyone goes into the playoffs with injuries. Big ones, little ones, whatever the case may be. But you should be doing your best to limit those opportunities from happening. And I, you know, last season, I just don't think we saw that. I think Laviolette just, he knew what he wanted. He knew who he wanted his top six to be, and he wasn't willing to play anybody else. And I wonder if part of that was because there was less games, that there was less opportunities to make up for mistakes in games that, you know, you lose a game you probably should have won. You know, with an 82-game season, you have more opportunities to, all right, well, I lost that game. It's not the end of the world. Hopefully, it won't come back to bite us in the end. We, you know, we miss out on the playoffs by 2 points or whatever the case may be. You know, you have an opportunity to make up a couple of games that don't go your way versus a shorter season. You may not feel like you do have that same opportunity. So I want to see rotation this season. I think that's a big thing.
Who do you think, just looking forward real quick, who do you think from the Capitals will be making Olympic teams this year?
Ooh, I am not looking at the right roster to play that game. Hang on 1 second.
I mean, obviously we're going to have Ovechkin and Orlov playing for Russia.
I don't know if Ovechkin plays.
Oh, he 100%.
I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I just want to see what you'd say. That was 100% a joke.
Yeah. For the U.S., I can definitely see Oshie and Carlson.
Backstrom, yep.
Yeah, of course.
Healthy, he's playing for Sweden. Dowd's not playing for the USA. No offense, buddy. Eller for
Denmark.
Thank you. It said DNK, and I was like, what? Hagelin, Sweden? I don't know. Yes, I want to say. Maybe. Opportunity? Maybe not. I don't know. I haven't really paid attention to Sweden. I like their jerseys, though. They're always really nice. You know, Hathaway's not playing for the U.S. Kuznetsov's definitely playing. Oh, no, Kuznetsov's not playing for Russia. He's not allowed. Mantha for Canada. I think if he has a really good season up until that point, I think he's definitely in the conversation about playing for the Canadians. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think he's definitely worth.
He's young enough. I mean, he has a chance.
He's 27. Oshie for the U.S., I think if he has a good season, it's definitely an opportunity for him to play. Ovechkin, you know, all jokes aside, will definitely be playing for the Russians. And that probably is it. Tom Wilson for Canada, maybe. You know, I think there's an opportunity if he has a really good season. I think it's, you know, first part of the season. I think he's going to make life really difficult for them to say no. Carlson's making Team USA. Kempny, if he plays well, is for the Czech Republic. Orlov's probably playing for Russia. That's probably it. Unless, like, Van Riemsdyk has a really good. Probably not Schultz for Canada. Van Riemsdyk, if he has like a really, really good season, the U.S. might look at him if a couple other guys are struggling. Brandon says no. And then Samsonov maybe for Russia. And Vanacek, I'm going to say good possibility for the Czech Republic, but I don't know who their goalies are. Couldn't tell you. I think there will be a nice representation.
I'm going to look up Czech Republic ice hockey Olympic team.
While you're doing that, real quick, let's make mention of the fact that Caps signed defensive prospect Vincent Iorio to an entry-level deal. He was their second-round pick in 2021, so it's nice to see they locked him up to a deal. You know, I think they have high hopes that he's going to be able to come in the next couple of years, you know, probably a couple of years from now and you know, be playing at an NHL level.
Yeah, the goaltender listed for Czech Republic, it looks like it's a guy playing in the KHL. Roman Will, he's playing for Tractor in the KHL. Another guy playing for the KHL. Yeah, so they don't have any NHLers in the Czech Republic Olympic team. So
I think Vanacek's got an opportunity.
That could be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and Samsonov, I mean, we'll see. There's plenty of other really good Russians, so we'll see what happens there.
And I think Russia's probably going to fill most of their team up with KHLers just to be like, hey, we're as good as the NHL.
God, that's going to go poorly for them.
Yeah, but I can see that happening. I love Olympic international hockey. I fully expect Connor McMichael and Henrik Lapierre to be playing for the World Juniors team in a couple, 2 months now?
I don't know.
2 months for World
if
Juniors.
If they're playing for the Caps may not let them go.
Oh, interesting. I don't think they're going to be playing for the Caps in December.
We'll see.
But that's interesting. Could they miss out on a World Junior? I mean, Connor McMichael, he already got his silver last year because they got beat by the U.S. But he had a chance to play for the World Juniors Championship last year. But Henrik Lapierre did not qualify for that, or he didn't make that team. He got cut. So that's interesting that because they blocked, if I remember correctly, Andrei Burakovsky. They wouldn't allow him to go. Because they wanted him to play in Hershey and really ticked him off. So they have done it in the past.
I mean, I feel like if you're playing in the National Hockey League, you're probably a little upset, but you're like, but I get to play in the National Hockey League.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I've never been in that position, so I can't say.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Jerk. But I... but I, you know,
I've never been on ice skates before, so don't listen to me.
Yeah, really? We got to get you on some skates, man.
I did go skating at a little kiddie rink with my girlfriend in January because we had just started becoming official in a relationship. And I'm like, well, I have to go. I can't
you,
be like,
you
hey.
You clung to the boards, didn't you?
110% I did. Never let that board go.
Oh, man. All right. We got to go skating at some point. We're going to record it. We're going to post it up on we'll get you know what we're going to do is we're going to go up to Canada. we're going to meet up with Ryan and then we're going to record it and then post it on the World Wide Web.
And then it could be like, "Hey everybody, look, this is how Brandon broke his femur."
This is what happens when Brandon tries to skate on ice. Were you skating or were you walking?
Is it what's the difference? I never let go of the wall.
Were you walking, like stepping, or were you actually like pushing and skating?
Mostly walking then, yes.
Okay. All right, we got some work to do. All right. Yeah, get this right. We're going to get you. There's got to be a rink near you, right?
Oh yeah, there's plenty of rinks in Baltimore. Baltimore has a lot of hockey history that gets kind of like forgotten about, but it's the real deal up here.
I'm telling you, no offense to South Carolina, but I want an ECHL team.
I think we would do very well in Baltimore.
I want an ECHL team in Baltimore. I want them called the Skipjacks. Baltimore needs a new arena. If Baltimore gets a new arena, then you definitely can make that work, but one thing at a time. I think last little bit of Caps news is... Where did my notes go? I lost it. Sorry, everybody.
Looking up Baltimore ice rinks, you lost your
notes. I totally lost my notes looking at where Baltimore ice rinks were. Apparently, Wayne Gretzky came out and said he hopes Ovechkin breaks his record, which is nice to hear, but I also feel like he wasn't going to come out and be like, no, screw that guy. I want my record. And even if he does think that way, he's not going to say it. But it's nice to hear either way. You know, but Ovechkin's going to have some real... I mean, it's what, like, he has to average, like, 33 goals a season throughout his contract.
Right.
To tie or break the record. And it's just annoying to think, like, without all the lockouts and COVID-shortened season, like, he definitely would have done it. I have to imagine. He definitely would have done it.
Yeah.
He'd be way closer. I mean, you're looking at potentially... 75 goals he's missed out on. Probably around there. 60 to 75 he's missed out on in his career.
He can do it. There's no doubt in my mind he can do it.
I mean, we'll see. We will see.
All right. Anything else we should cover in Caps world?
No, we're about 20 minutes into the game. And they are currently shockingly losing. Charlie Coyle scored, assist from Marchand and Craig Smith. Screw you, Marchand, you licking weirdo.
Now, we should bring this up, that Craig Lachlan is going to have his own beer, a new beer out for opening night. It's called Locktoberfest. It's by Firm Brewing, and they're going to do some limited edition cases for purchase. And be ready for you for the season opener. But it's Locktoberfest. The label is awesome. We shared it over on our Facebook page. It is Craig Lachlan on skates in lederhosen.
I don't want to see that.
You want to see it.
No.
And it is in, this place is in Gambrills, Maryland.
Yeah.
Is that by you?
Mm-mm.
No?
I want to say it's between you and Annapolis.
That does sound familiar. It's a little above Annapolis. It's kind of near Crofton. Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's it in Caps world.
All right, so what are we doing next? We going around the NHL?
The only thing I have for around the NHL, I mean, do you want to do the do-do-do-do-do thing?
I mean, if you only got one story, we can just...
I don't know if we want to talk about the Robin Leonard stuff.
Yeah, okay, we can talk a little bit about this. You sent this to me over the weekend. I was very confused because... I didn't know what we were, what I was reading. These tweets kind of like were coming in from different people, but you sent it to me. So I'm like, all right, it's got to be something important about hockey, but try to straighten it out. What is going on with this thing?
So I, you know, this was a little while ago. I read about it. Well, I sent to you over the weekend or whatever it was. It was on the second. Robin Leonard, the goalie for Vegas. Dude's not playing around anymore.
So he's the current goaltender for Vegas.
Yes.
Okay.
He is not playing anymore with the NHL. He's not happy. He just went on a bit of a Twitter stream, I guess. I don't really know if that's the right term for it. But he just went after people that he felt like were just doing players wrong. And I think a lot of it comes back to the Jack Eichel situation in Buffalo, where the Eichel wants one procedure done to fix an issue with his neck or upper back. I think it's his neck. But the team wants something different that will get him back on the ice quicker, but may have longer lasting implications for him after he's done with the hockey. And I feel like when we talk about it, it's like, I sit on this show and I talk about players getting traded and moving out. And like, there's a real human beings who have to uproot themselves and their family when they go to, you know, play somewhere else. Right. But that's the reality of playing in professional sports, is that at any moment, unless you have no trade clause, you can get moved, you know, and that's just the reality of the situation. And the reality of the business that they decided to get into. If you didn't want to deal with that, then unfortunately you're not allowed to play. That's just how it happened. Or you have to be an amazing player that no one ever wants to get rid of. You know what I mean? But Gretzky got traded, so anybody can get moved down. So when it came down to the Robin Leonard stuff, you know, he was, I think the stuff going on with Eichel is messed up in terms of the Sabres are like, well, we'd rather do this one so we get you back on the ice sooner. And Eichel's like, no. Like, I have to think about life after hockey because that's going to happen at some point. And I think Leonard was like, you know what? I got you, man. Like, he gets it. He understands it. I'm supporting both Eichel and Leonard in this situation in terms of these are real human beings have to think about their lives after hockey. And Leonard just came out and went after everybody. I mean, he was talking about Alain Vigneault and how he kind of backtracked on this one a little bit in terms of he wasn't saying like Vigneault was handing out like Ambien, but he was talking about how NHL teams hand out drugs, but they're handing out like sleeping pills and other, I'm not going to specifics, but like they're handing out other things that really need to be a signed prescription by a doctor or a psychiatrist. And that's just not happening. Right. And that's dangerous. You know, if you take too much of something, even a sleeping pill, and that can be a very big problem, especially if you mix it with like alcohol or whatever it is, you know, after a game. You know, Leonard talked about for 8 years, he's had no REM sleep. That's a problem. I mean, that's a really big problem. And that teams were just like feeding him sleeping pills and it caused problems. He, you know, they're talking about issues he had with his injuries. You know, he had an issue with his ankle and the teams were just trying to like push him to get back and play. And he came out and he was talking about, I'm trying to find the exact spot where he was talking about it, but he was talking about other players who have had issues where, or it was him or it was Daniel Carcillo who came out and was talking about how, you know, there was a player once who they needed to get him back on the roster so they could send him down as opposed to like having him and trying to like treat the issue that he was having and how they push guys back. And you know, it's a problem. And we look at them as, you know, hockey players and they're supposed to be, you know, we talk about how, oh, well they, you know, they get hit with a puck and they lose a few teeth and they're back on the ice, but they're still human beings and they still have to have a life after hockey. And you've had players that have had such bad injuries and such bad concussions. I think it was Daniel Carcillo who was talking about, oh, I feel terrible now because I forget the player's name. Hang on, because I don't want to say the wrong name. I want to say it was Steve Monador who killed himself. And it's because he'd had like 19 concussions
right
in his NHL career. And the teams were still just like, we'll get back out there. And it's like, no, don't get back out there. Like, you've agreed to take this player in as a part of your organization and a part of your quote unquote family. Like, take care of them. You know, I mean, look at everything. I don't know if you pay attention to it. But look at everything going on with the National Women's Soccer League in the U.S. right now. Like, it is a mess. Because people ignored the harassment and honestly sexual assault that players were dealing or getting from one of their coaches. And the league ignored it or tried to, like, you know, hide it. And now, thankfully, people are coming out and speaking up, Alex Morgan being one of them. And they're supporting these other female athletes who, you know, there's one player who had, I think it was an anxiety attack or a panic attack because of what had happened to her and being assaulted by her coach. You know, we need to start looking at athletes as human beings and not just, you know, the video game, the player that I can move with my controller when I'm playing an NHL game, which, by the way, they haven't had a really good NHL game in so long. All they really do is update the rosters, maybe change the layout, and they're like, look, it's a brand new NHL game. I'm like, no, you didn't. All you did was switch stuff around. We need to think of these people as human beings. You know, we talk about, oh, when's Baxter going to be back? Well, how about we make sure his hip is okay so that when he's done playing hockey, he can pick up his kids? I think that's the important thing. You know, I think it's a good thing now that people are speaking up, and social media, to an extent, has been a great part of it, because after Leonard came out and was calling out the NHL and NHL Players Association, which he tagged both of them on Twitter, which I thought was pretty ballsy by him, the NHL was like, oh, we actually would like to speak with you about this situation. And they're like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and try and, like, fix everything. Because he had to call them out. And I thought it was interesting that Vigneault came out and basically was, like, dismissive of what Leonard was saying. I don't know. That guy looks kind of like a Bond villain. Like, he looks a little bit like he's a bit of an interesting dude. So I'm hoping that teams start making the right decisions for players. The Sabres certainly have not made themselves look good in regards to this whole thing with Jack Eichel. I saw a story today that looks like he might get moved pretty soon. That's the best thing for both of them at this point. They've already botched that so bad that at this point they just need to get out. They need to get away from it and just move on. You know, you want to get something for him, but you're not going to get what he's worth because you've already screwed yourself over.
I don't know how to describe it. This is popping up. This type of situation is popping up more and more and more in recent years. And I don't think it's a new problem. I think it's just the fact that this is how things have been run for so long. You know, I always point back to stuff happening in wrestling, and everyone knows how I'm a huge wrestling fan. But one of my favorites that was in the ring for a long time, he just made his return to AEW, but CM Punk, he was a guy who was out of wrestling for 7 years because he just kind of walked out of the WWE because he was so sick, and he was so sick, and mentally he was burned out, and physically he was burned out, and he had all these injuries. He went on a podcast of a friend of his and told this whole story of how he had a staph infection on his back right underneath his waistband, and he was wrestling in trunks, so I mean it's like, you know, compression stuff, and they kept just giving him a Z-pack, and they would, you know, they wouldn't really address the issue. Then he said he had a concussion during a match, and they're like, well, what do you want me to do about that? And they didn't really address it. And I'm not saying what these guys in hockey or what Punk did is wrong or anything like that, because if stuff like that's happening, they need to take care of these people that are putting their bodies on the line. But I hope that Eichel and this guy, Robin, as well, are prepared for the backlash, because what the WWE did with CM Punk was, after this podcast came out and had millions and millions and millions of hits, they sued him. They sued him for slander. And he was in court for, I think, about a week. And then that Saturday night, he had to fight for the UFC. So, you know, it was kind of specifically planned that way, that one of the hardest weeks in any athlete's career is that fight week, where you got to train and you've got to, you know, lose weight and make weight and do all this other stuff. He had to do all of that while also going to court every day for this slander case that, you know, they could have settled outside of court, but they didn't. And he was found not guilty of anything, but that was millions of dollars that had to be spent to fight the WWE and their lawyers. This guy, you know, if the NHL wants to, they can sue this guy for slander, saying he has no proof, and maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but they'll take him. The trial will be millions of dollars out of his pocket that he's going to have to cover lawyer fees and everything else like that, and time and everything like that. So, I mean, yes, it is very brave for him to come forward and say that, you know, giving out Ambien like candy and that kind of stuff is being done. But I hope he is prepared for, like, this could be the end of his career by doing this. I mean, if this is a big enough issue to risk something like that. But if you're going to do something like this against a major sports brand, they're going to come after you. I hope he realizes that. I support what he's doing, but I hope he knows that this is a very slippery slope, and they're not going to make it easy on him.
Well, so he had a, you're talking about Leonard?
Yeah.
He had a meeting with the NHL, and apparently he liked the meeting, or they got him to be quiet. But I guess he had a press conference on Tuesday afternoon. And he said, I'm always going to advocate for mental health, but moving forward, I'm looking to help in a more private manner. He said, this weekend was a cry for help from the league that I love and has given me so much, but I'm looking to protect the younger players. And the only way to effect change in my mind is to do it in a non-public fashion. I feel very encouraged about the talks I've had with the league. He's come out. He's talked about how he is diagnosed as being bipolar. I believe I have that correct. You know, I don't think he's going to be quiet if he doesn't want to be. I mean, I don't think there's anything else they can really do to him, especially if he's got evidence. He's got proof, and he says he does. So I think right now what he did is he put the NHL in a spot where they had to respond. And given how things are going right now in the public forum, I don't think they can necessarily hide any of this. So, you know, I think he did the right thing. He did the right thing sticking up for Eichel. You know, I don't have a problem with what he said.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with what he said and what he's doing, but I hope that he's, I mean, sounds like that meeting went well. So that's a very good thing, but it's this is also a testament of how hard it is for people like that to come out and make these kind of statements. 'Cause when you do something like that, you're going after a conglomerate. You're going after some very powerful and very rich people, and they will not make your life easy. But it seems as if everybody's taking kind of the high road right now, and they're talking it out and trying to fix things that are wrong. Time will tell if they actually do it, but it's interesting that's what they're doing. So that's all very encouraging, very good things to hear.
Yeah, no, I agree. So yeah, good.
So is that the show?
I think that's it. My stomach's about to start rumbling, so I think it's time to wrap it up.
All right, guys. Well, hey, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Stan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Stan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Stan, talking pretty soon about regular season Caps hockey, as well as Arsenal Football Club, taking one step forward, two steps back every freaking weekend. But then also talking about the Bills football, talking about Washington football team, and what other fun things related to sports that pops into my head. That is on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we will post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, Hershey Cubs, South Carolina Stingrays, the Baltimore Skipjacks one day, hopefully. Come on, let's make it happen, guys. And anything else that Brandon thinks is fun, he will post on there. I don't even know if I remember how to post it on there at this point. I have to go back and look at that.
They're making it more difficult, I will tell you that.
Sounds about right. Facebook making things more difficult? No way. But anyways, that's finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if someone happens to also be a fan of a purple-clad team from up there in Balmer, is there a particular podcast they could check out to maybe hear your thoughts on that team?
Yes, you can go check out my Ravens podcast called The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Me and my buddy Josh talk all things Ravens. It's a lot of fun. Ravens coming off a win against Denver. They beat up the Broncos in Denver. I listened to the game coming back from the beach. It was a good game to listen to. So definitely check us out there. We get ready to welcome the old Baltimore Colts to town for Monday night. That's right, Indy If you notice in the stadium, if you're watching Monday Night Football on ESPN this upcoming Monday, you will notice that it does not say Colts anywhere on any Jumbotron in the stadium. They are just labeled as Indy because Baltimore refuses to call them the Colts because they stole our team.
I don't know why that's making me laugh, but it is.
Hey, it's Baltimore. We hold grudges. That's what
apparently.
We
apparently.
Yeah, big time grudges. So
I mean, you know, kind of a dick move.
Watch if you do have ESPN Plus and it's on there, the 30 for 30 called The Band That Wouldn't Die about the Baltimore Colts marching band. Watch that documentary. It is fantastic, and it shows you how much Baltimore loved the Colts and how it was ripped away from them as in the middle of the night as it was snowing.
Yeah, that wasn't very classy.
Yeah, on a Mayflower trucks. So just telling you, check that out. That's a really good one. Now, this show we do for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Tell them to fix their app or tell us what we need to do to fix it as well so we can be back on Apple Podcasts. And let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the game until we talk again. One more exhibition game coming up on Friday the 8th up against Philadelphia back home in D.C. You can watch that on the NHL Network nationally or NBC Sports Washington locally. And then Coach Den and I will be back to preview the regular season before the regular season begins on the 13th on TNT. Up against the Rangers. That's going to be a fun one to watch. TNT, we know drama, even though you are kicking off my wrestling for that Wednesday night. The NHL, what are you doing to me? You're killing me.
Yeah, come on.
But Coach Dan and I will be back before the regular season starts so we can talk all things regular season hockey. We'll know final lineups. We'll know maybe who the number one goaltender is. We'll find out soon enough. So that is it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.